words of eternal life. So today, in his words, we will learn how to pray. Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 to 13. This is our scripture portion today for the sermon. We'll learn from our Lord Jesus Christ how to pray. So before you go there, before you turn, as usual, I just want to ask few questions. If you remember, last time when we heard a sermon about prayer, I preached on God glorifying prayer. And we pray and Gentiles pray, pagans pray. What's the difference in the prayer? What makes prayer Christian? What is a Christian prayer? If you remember, I told exactly. We pray for the glory of God. We pray to exalt God's name. We pray that Christ will be glorified. And the pagans pray for themselves. Lord bless me. Make me rich. Make me famous. That's what Gentiles pray for. That's why they go to temples and pray. But Christians, we don't pray for ourselves. We don't pray for our names. We pray for the glory of God, the Father. That makes a prayer Christian. And throughout the scriptures, there are many commands showing the importance of prayer. Paul said, pray without ceasing. In 1 Timothy, he said, pray at all times. Even Jesus Christ, in Luke chapter 18, he said, he gave a parable about a widow. And he said, he gave that parable so that they might always pray and not lose heart. Prayer is not an act. It is a way of our life, showing dependence on God. We should pray at all times, which means we should pray for everything in our lives. Jesus Christ said in John chapter 15:7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, it will be given. You see the first phrase? If you abide in me and my words abide in you. You by heart the words, you apply the word of God in your life. That's not enough. But ask. You have to pray. And then God is going to give whatever you ask. We have to ask. Even with these many imperative, strong commands. But still, as a Christian, we do struggle in prayer life, isn't it? We know that we are not praying enough. What is the reason? Why don't we pray? Why don't we pray as much as we should? One of the reasons may be we didn't receive an answer, maybe. And why didn't we receive? Maybe we did not pray according to the God's intention, God's will. You know, our prayers should be earnest. Stop praying half prayers without any intention, without any confidence in God that He will answer. We should stop praying that. If you remember Hebrews chapter 5 verse 7, he says, in the days of the flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and fears to him who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverence, because of his sincerity in his prayer. He was heard because of his reverence. Do we have that reverence in prayer? Are we sincere in prayer? When we ask, do we ask with sincerity? You know, when we are sincere, we will keep record of it. When you ask something, you will remember. You will wait for the answer. Throughout our lives, we have prayed many prayers. How many are answered? Are you keeping account of it? Only then you will be able to give thanks to Him. we have to work on not praying half prayers. We have to pray, but with sincerity, with earnestness, like Jesus Christ. And sometimes maybe we are not praying according to the God's will. We should know how to pray. And in Luke chapter 11, we see disciples asking Jesus Christ, Lord, teach us how to pray. And that's when Jesus Christ taught them how to pray. But we are looking at Matthew chapter 16, sorry, 6 and verses 9 to 13. I'm reading from ESV version. We are going to learn how to pray. And for the context, I'm going to read from chapter 6, first verse, till 15. Matthew chapter 6, verse 1. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people, in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received the reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, you see here, when you pray, it's not if you pray. You have to pray. When you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. Pray to your Father who is in secret. It's very important to pray to our Father. I mean, praying to our God. Are we just imagining or are we just praying? Sometimes we don't pray with our lips and then we fall asleep because we'll just imagine something. But we don't really request, pray. We have to pray to the Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Jesus Christ taught how to pray. And if you observe, you see, Jesus Christ did not pray for Himself. You see, He says in verse 9, He says, Our Father who is in heaven, what's His first petition? Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, not my kingdom. Your will be done, not our will be done. Sometimes we pray that our will be done, most of the times. And it won't happen. And then we'll think, prayer is not so really effective. I asked God, He didn't respond. That's because maybe you're asking your will. We can't change God. You know, prayer doesn't change God. Prayer changes you. Prayer changes me. And when we change, God changes what we are going to receive. I mean, when we sin, we are going to receive judgment. But when we repent and pray, God forgives us and then gives mercy. God did not change. He is always the same. Yesterday, today, tomorrow. He judges the sinners and shows mercy to the repented sinners. So, prayer changes you. When you change, you will receive whatever you ask. So when you ask for the will of God in your life, it will happen, not your will. And the fourth request, he says, give us this day our daily bread, acknowledging that God is the one who gives the bread. And he says, forgive us from our sins. He says, God is in authority who forgives. And he says, lead us not into temptation, deliver us from the evil one. God has the power. You see, the prayer is so God-centered, so God-glorifying. Jesus taught this prayer. This is the model prayer. This is how we should pray. Exalting God in the prayer. Acknowledging God as great as He is and asking to exalt His name. And if you see in whole chapter 6, you see Father in heaven will reward you. In verse 2, he says, beware of practicing your righteousness in front of others. Don't do that. Father in heaven will reward you. And then in the area of giving, don't do in front of others. Do it secretly. Because Father in the heaven is the one who is going to reward you. And when you pray, pray in a room, closed room, so that Father in the heaven maybe will reward you. So this is the prayer that Father is going to reward. The prayer that Jesus taught is the prayer that Father is going to reward. So today we are going to look at the prayer that the Father rewards. And we'll see two aspects of this Father rewarded prayer. Two aspects of Father rewarded prayer. And we see six petitions here, Jesus Christ asking God. And I've divided first three into one part, one aspect, and the second, last three petitions as the second aspect. So first aspect of this Father rewarded prayer is that pray for eternal needs. Pray for eternal needs. Praying for the eternal needs. And see in verse 9 he says, pray then like this. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven. Our Father in heaven. This is very important to know. We are praying to our Father. God is Father, isn't it? For everyone in this creation, in one sense. Malachi chapter 2 verse 10 says, do not all have one Father? Has not God created everyone? And even in Acts, Apostle Paul in verse 8 said, quoting their own prophets of Greek, he says, as some of your own poets have said, for we also are his offspring. There is a sense that God owns everyone, but he is not Father to everyone. Jesus Christ said in John chapter 8 verse 42, if God were your Father, you would love me. Which means God is not their Father. Satan was. There are only two families on this earth. God's family and Satan's family. If you are a Christian, you are in the family of God. And God is your Father. If you are not a Christian, you are a son of disobedience, sons of wrath. You are under the family of Satan. That's what Jesus Christ said in John's Gospel. Not all are sons of God. We have to repent for our sins and then confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. Believe that He was raised from the dead in your heart. And then you will be forgiven of your sins and then you will be His son. John chapter 1 verse 12 says, for those who receive Jesus and also for those who believe in His name, He gave authority to be His children. Are you a child of God? Have you repented for your sins? Have you been repenting? Not once in life. If you are a Christian, you will continually repent for your sins all your life. Are you repenting for your sins? Are you growing in repentance? Have you asked forgiveness from Lord Jesus Christ? This is the question that we have to ask. If you have, than your son. He is your father. And this father is a father who loves you. Loves you the most. Love that you cannot understand. There is nothing that can impress God from your end. I mean, like, you can't impress God. He is your father. He loves you. That's it. Period. He loves you. Not because of your righteous deeds. Not because you woke up early in the morning, 5 o'clock, and prayed for 2 hours and studied 3 hours of Bible study and then evangelized all day. That doesn't make any change. He loves you. You might say, I'm in sin, Daryl. Doesn't God hate me? No. If you are a Christian, He loves you. Because He loves you, if you are a Christian, He will spank you as a father. But He's not a judge anymore. He's not a judge. He's a loving father. Once we understand that our father is so loving and is ready to help me, you will be able to go to the prayer with confidence. Now, this is very important to understand. He loves us despite of our failures. He loves you as much as He loves Christ. You can't change the love of God. It's always constant. He loves you the most. He's a father who loves. You remember in Matthew, same Matthew Gospel, in verse chapter 7 and verse 11, he says, if you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your father who is in heaven give good things? How much more will the father in heaven will give good things? He is ready to give you more than as you are ready to ask. He loves you. And this loving father, he is not somebody who is weak. Where is he? He is in heaven. He is above all. He is sovereign over everything. He is the one who created. He can do anything. He can change anything. He has the power to give whatever you ask. That's the first thing that we should have before we enter into our prayers. Our Father who is in heaven. He's a loving Father who is a powerful Father. What was the first petition that Jesus Christ made for eternal needs? That's, hallowed be your name. The greatest need that is that we need the fear of the Lord. Hallowed be your name. Which means, sanctify your name, Lord. Or else make your name holy. That's the first petition. Isn't God's name holy? It is, right? But what is Jesus asking when he said, hallowed be your name, make your name holy? Ezekiel chapter 36 verse 23 says, I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. How his great name was profaned? When they lived in disobedience, Israelites, they profaned the name of the Lord. Now, if you reverse it, if you live in obedience, you will make His name holy. So when Jesus Christ is asking, Lord, make your name holy, He's telling that, Lord, may the fear of your name be in our lives, and then may everyone live in obedience, and then make your name holy. He is praying that everyone will have the fear of the Lord. That is the first petition. We have to have the fear of the Lord. Everyone. Hallowed be your name. Isaiah 6:3. And one called out to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. Psalm 33:8 says, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. Proverbs 8:13. You know, this is the heading of the Proverbs. For all the Proverbs, the book Proverbs, this is the heading. After the introduction, verse 7 says, fear of the Lord, wisdom. And Proverbs 8:13. Fear of the Lord is to hate evil. If you don't know what is the fear of the Lord, it is to hate evil and submit to God. We have to have the fear of the Lord. This is the greatest need of humanity. We should pray for it. I don't know what you are praying for. This should be in the first line of your prayer. Lord, help me to make your name holy. Help me to honor you. Help me to fear you and hate evil. Greatest blessing is fear of the Lord. And the second petition Jesus Christ makes is, your kingdom come. Your kingdom come, Lord. It is the reign of the Father he is asking for. What is the kingdom? Kingdom is a place where there is a king and he has people on whom he rules. He's praying for reign of the Father. But he's saying, your kingdom come. He wants the kingdom on earth. That's what Jesus is praying for. Isn't God the king? Isn't God the one who reigns over all? He is over ruling, right? In Psalm 103:19, Psalmist says, the Lord has established his throne in the heavens and his sovereignty rules over all. Even in Psalm 99, we studied, the Lord reigns. God is the king and this is the kingdom. But what is Jesus specifically praying for here? He's praying for the reign of the Father among people. So God's kingdom is not a place exactly. When Jesus Christ said in Mark's gospel, he said, repent and believe in the gospel because kingdom of God is at hand. Literally, kingdom of God has drawn near. He meant the long promised salvation of Israel is near. If you repent and ask forgiveness from the Lord, and make Jesus Christ as Lord in your lives, God's kingdom will enter into your lives. You will be in the kingdom of God. And a church is a kingdom of God, where God rules. Your hearts is a place where God reigns. That's the kingdom. That's what Jesus Christ said. Kingdom is at hand. Kingdom is in your midst because king has already come. Who is Lord of your life? Do you live for yourself or do you live for Lord Jesus Christ? Who is your Lord? And there is an aspect of the kingdom that is going to come in future, literally. When Christ returns, he is going to establish literal kingdom. And when Jesus Christ prays, let your kingdom come, there is a heart's desire that he wants God's rule to be on earth. We should also wait for Christ's return, literal kingdom on heaven. We are now engaged to Christ. We are his bride. He is going to come. I was never engaged, but I don't, many of you are married, you can understand. As an engaged bride, we should wait long for our Lord Jesus Christ coming. Are you comfortable here on this earth? Are you longing for the kingdom? You see the saints in the Bible. Abraham is a rich man, but in Hebrews chapter 10 he says, he was longing, waiting for the city that is built by God, where the foundations are laid by God. He was waiting for the kingdom that is going to come. is waiting for the city. What are you living for? Who is your Lord of your life? Are you waiting for Jesus Christ? Matthew chapter 26-29, Jesus Christ says, "But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." This is Matthew. And in Mark says, like, "Truly I say to you, I will never again drink the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it in the kingdom of God." So kingdom of God, kingdom of Father, kingdom of heaven were used in a parallel sense. This is the kingdom that Christ is going to bring. Revelation 22:12 says, "Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to render to every man according to what he has done." And when he is going to come with his kingdom, he is going to bring rewards. Are we living so that we might get the reward from our Lord? That's the question that we should ask. We should live waiting for a king to come, for his kingdom to establish, and we should live so that we might earn rewards. When Jesus Christ prayed that your kingdom come, he was longing for God's kingdom to come. We should also long for his kingdom. And what's the third petition? The third petition for the eternal need. These are eternal needs. We need fear of the Lord forever, now and even in heaven. We need reign of the Father, now and forever. And the third petition, we need the will of the Father in our lives, now and forever. These are the eternal needs. He says, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Again, it's the Father's will that is being done on this earth, right? Ephesians 1:11 says, everything God does according to the purpose of his will, who works all things according to the counsel of his will, according to the counsel of his will. And Satan, even to do something, he has to take permission from the Lord. If you remember Luke chapter 22:31, he says, "Peter, Satan has demanded that he will swift you like wheat, but I have prayed that you will not fail in faith. You will not fail in faith." So even Satan takes permission to do something. It's the will of the Father is going to happen. But what is the will of the Father that Jesus Christ is requesting for? It is a desire, wish. There is a permitted will where God allowed sin. But his desire is that we should be holy. We should be completely submitting to the Lord joyfully. There is a hint even in the third petition to understand what is this will. He says, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." In heaven, there is no rebellion. Everyone in the heaven joyfully submit to the Lord. That's what he want to see on earth. He want to see everyone joyfully submitting to the Father and fulfilling his desire, will, wish. He's praying for the submission life of ours. And he did. If you remember in Matthew chapter 29:39, he went a little beyond and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." Christ fulfilled his will. I don't know your life situation. I don't know the sufferings that you are going through. If it is Father's will, we have to go. I can't understand the pain, but Christ can. But we have to. And Christ was humble and true when praying, "Father, if possible, remove this cup. But yet, it's not my will. It's your will be done." Brothers and sisters, it is his will that should be done, even if it is painful. Jesus himself obeyed in the darkest hour. He shed blood while praying. But he was committed to the will of the Father. And then that's what he expects from us. And where is the will of the Lord? How to find the will of? This is the great question. How to find the will of the Lord? And for me, John MacArthur helped me. If you can find this book, Found God's Will, it is really helpful. It's the will of the Lord. It's found. It's already here. Micah chapter 6, 8 says, He has told you, O man, what is good and what does the Lord require of you? But to do justice, to love kindness and walk humbly with your God. Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belongs to the Lord our God. But the things revealed belong to us and our sons forever, that we may observe all the words of this law. We have to obey what was commanded. Revealed will is for us. Everything what we need is in the scriptures. We don't need to again need new revelation from the Father. We already have what we need for the life and godliness. The will of the Lord is found. We have to submit to the will that God has commanded. Before I came to PTS, I used to struggle. And I say, ask Father, even the brothers, they come, there are two colleges, I don't know the will of the Lord. What? One friend said, Daryl, you should definitely read Found God's Will from John MacArthur. That is the will of the Lord. It is already revealed. You don't need to find. How to find the will of the Lord? Practically. If you have two jobs, how to find? They are same money. They are paying both 1 lakh per month, 1 lakh per month. Both 5 kilometers away from your home, 5 kilometers away from. How will you find? It's very simple. Which one you would like to do? Finish. And also check. If someone is asking you to come on Sundays, that's not the will of the Lord. I heard literally people saying, this is God's will for me to join that company. Why? Because I felt that way. Oh, really? Okay. And will you be attending Sunday? No. There is no off on Sunday. How will you know? How do you know that it's the will of the Lord? No, it's not the will of the Lord. If something is taking away from God, if something is taking you away from the God, that is not the will of the Lord. If something is taking closer to God, that is the will of the Lord. Simple. Whatever we need for life, we have in scriptures. And even if it is painful, if the job pays only 5,000 and helps you to be godly, and someone is paying 50,000 and drawing away from the Lord, that's not the will of the Lord, brother. Choose the 5,000 one, even if it is painful. Jesus Christ did not look for his comfort. Father, if it is not possible, if let your will be done, not my will. I will conclude with these three petitions. We will see next three petitions because I am 30 minutes preacher. I don't like to go an hour sermon. So I want to conclude you brothers with a small word of encouragement. Matthew chapter 7. Verse 7 says, ask, it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open to you. It is for sure that God will answer. Just have to trust in this. He will answer. You know, the most miserable person on this world is the one who does not ask his father. James 4:2. You do not have because you do not ask. Don't be a miserable person. The Father loves you. Loves you the most. That you cannot understand how much he loves you. But he loves you. And he is all powerful. And if you pray according to His will, He is going to give you whatever you want. And what is His will? What is the one thing that God is doing in your life? That helping you to become more like Jesus. And if you ask anything for that, He is going to give you. Lord, help me to overcome the sin. He is going to help you. Lord, help me to be more prayerful. He is going to help you. Help me to remember scriptures. Help me to obey you. He will help you. There's no doubt. There is no doubt in it. Don't be a miserable person. Ask today. Go to your Father. He is ready to give whatever you ask according to His will. We'll close in prayer. Gracious Father, thank you so much. Lord, I pray for Cornerstone and for myself that we will understand you are a Father who loves us the most. And help us to come again and again to you, Father. Lord, help us to obey you. Help us to seek your kingdom. Help us to obey your will, even if it is painful, Lord. Help us to make your name holy through our lives. I pray everyone in Cornerstone will be prayerful and show dependence on you, Father. I pray for myself that I will continually learn to depend on you. I submit myself and Cornerstone into your hands. In Christ Jesus' name I pray. Amen.